Blog Talk Radio.
Someone can make my mind go round in circles.
from the mouth of the one that I'm all in love with, girl. Like the words of a preacher to the ears of a deacon. Yeah, I don't see the same when you're sleeping. I'm so in love, in love. Guess I'm going to Arizona. I can't walk around without you. Between money and you, girl, give me sunshine and rain, pleasure and pain. Oh, I'd rather be holding your body.
Photoshop. Show me something natural like Afro on Richard Pryor. Show me something natural. I wanna feel some stretch marks. Then let's take you down right on your mama couch and polo black. Hey, this is way too crazy. Hey, you do not amaze me. Hey, I blew cool from AC. Hey, Obama just page me. Hey, I don't fabricate it. Hey, most of y'all be faking. Hey, I stay modest about it. Hey, she elaborated. Hey, this that great poupon, that AV on that TED talk. Hey, watch my soul speak. You let the med talk. If I kill an it won't be the alcohol. Ay, I'm the realest after all. Tell 'em be humble. Holla, sit holla, down. Holla, 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 be humble. Holla, holla, sit down. Be humble. Holla, tell 'em sit down. Be humble. Holla, sit down. Be humble. Holla, holla, sit down. Holla, holla, be humble. Holla, sit down. Be humble. Holla, sit down, Leon move, sit down.
Succulent lips and those forward-figured hips. Ass sits like a statue of thoroughbred Eastern Continental goddess, and you got this way of making me want to write erotic and tasty bars like a Milky Way dressed in lingerie. The looks we trade explains that you digging what I say. My display is California swag with the Midwest tongue, gangster grunge hung, and it hits like a Selassie I naughty root boy that will lick your pearl tongue ting a time or two. Me not true till you come, did me pull out me stun gun and go on to run your poom poom plum with the cadence of a snare drum. My surgeon seed is in need of your perfect randomness. Caress and handle my mammal. Uplift this gift. My simple wish is that you grip me with your fist and make this mic drip. Just like that. Make my mic drip. You're tripping, you got me tripping when you do it like that. Acrobatic tongue lashes on my demographic has me breathing asthmatic. You're fantastic at classically mastering my apparatus like you practice verbal gymnastics, and I find it attractive that you swag with your gag when you're orally active. My stretch is asking, rather demanding that you back that fatness in my direction. Crash my erection with the wetness of your intersection. I'm collecting electric vibes from your amplified love sounds when I'm inside. Your midnight cry strokes the ego of my earlobes as if my stronghold is at the mercy of your lips. I'm missed with your grip, and we fit as if we were made up for each other by a locksmith. So enamor me with your gifts. Let your temple be filled with my mist at this climax of our trip. I just ask you this. Can you make this mic drip?
Yes. Hi, everybody.
Hold on. I don't know if I'm live yet. I gotta crash this. This is Mona's show. This is Mona's house. People who listened to me the other day, y'all know this is Elijah Foreman, Mr. Unapologetic. But let me just say something after hearing that. If he didn't get the panties after saying all that, then that means y'all women are y'all's hard nose, man. He had to work to get them draws. Jesus Christ, man.
Stupid.
It's a different time, man. Y'all hear the different cadences he went into and started dropping the Jamaican slang and went to a different accent. He did all that to get the draws one time.
You is stupid.
Oh, man.
You know,
that's it. That's all I wanted to say, though. That's... Man, listen here. If he said all that to get the draws the first time, imagine what he's doing with his wife right now.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
That's it. Like I said, that's all I wanted to say. We go ahead back to the intro now.
All right. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Literary Talks with Mona. I'm Mona, and that right there is my guest co-host, Elijah Foreman.
I'm just saying, I thought I was doing something right all this time. I'll be 30 in June. I thought I was doing something good.
No, AZ is about these men realizing they haven't been doing nothing. His coaching is on point, okay?
He just sent me back to junior high school.
I know, they were just sitting like that in junior high. They was tweeting like that in junior high. No, Asia's poetry is like, that's that grown man-ish right there.
No, I'm just saying, he just dropped me back down to junior high level. See, I thought I was on, you know, thought I was doing my thing around here.
Oh, no. You haven't been doing nothing.
You couldn't let me live at all.
Oh, God. Shout out to Azias, also known as Poem Analogist Robinson. He's the CEO of Drip the Mic. And shout out to his his lovely wife, Deidre Elijah.
Drip the mic.
I'm so sorry. Drip the mic.
No, I'm just saying, this is how smooth that was. He didn't say drop the mic. He said, I'm going to say all that. And when I'm done, the way you dripping right now, that's going to drip the mic. Oh, man.
Oh, that's what he does. That's what he does every show.
I thought I was doing something with Maker Cream and all the books I done came out with over the years. That ain't nothing.
No, Azias have skills. Special shout out to Azias, Mr. Drip the Mic himself. Maybe we could bring Deidre on one of these days, and she could tell us this our special segment tonight. I'm gonna introduce our guest for tonight, but she's a romance author, so we're gonna be talking about love and romance and stuff. So maybe Deidre could, special shout out to Deidre. Maybe Deidre could tell us that Azias have to spit some of his poetry to get her, because you spit that type of poetry, you don't gotta say much after that.
Y'all should be making some babies after that. You shouldn't even been able to finish that poem.
You stupid.
Halfway through, it shouldn't have been no more talking.
Well, they are man and wife, and they do have some children. She's laughing. She's cracking up. Elijah's crazy.
Mona hit me up, said, all right, you can call in now. I'm all right, cool, I'm about to call in. When I call in, I step in the room to that.
Right.
I don't know where the hell I'm at. They got the old school 1993 porno music playing in the background. And he going in.
Yeah, then he comes in, right? Okay, so did you miss him last? Because he says poetry for every intro of the show. So last week was our first show. Did you miss him reciting poetry? Oh, you must have missed it.
I had to. I ain't hear that last week. I ain't hear none of that.
Oh, then you missed it. You must have not been paying attention
you know what it was? I didn't call in at 7. I called in at 7:30 last time.
Oh, that's why.
Called in at 7:30.
Okay. Oh, well, you got to be on time. So the show starts at 7 p.m., but for the first 5 to 10 minutes, we play music. You know, we let the listeners, listen to, some music to get you humped up, and then Mr. Drip the Mic himself comes in and recite his poetry. So yeah, last week you missed it because you logged on late last week. So yeah, if you want to catch, Mr. Drip the Mic, you have to, you got to call in. The first 10 minutes is going to be music, but if you call in like by 7:10, you're going to catch that poetry. So.
Hey, not bad. I was busy. Me and Mrs. Unapologetic was busy, okay? I'm playing. We ain't going to do that. She going to beat me up. We ain't going to do that.
Well, we got to bring Wifey on our segment one of these days. Kurt, did you ever have to recite any poetry to, but.
Oh, yeah, she would love this. She would love this type of
perfect segment. Well, this is love and romance. you know, so before I introduce our guest for tonight, I wanted to, so thank you so much, Elijah. This is our second show. This was our first, our premiere week's Wednesday was our premiere show, and it was excellent. I received a lot of feedback, you know, from when I posted the link. So it was an excellent show. Shout out to our very first guest, Sakaya Rain, for making it an unforgettable, you know, show Wednesday. So Literary Talks with Mona premieres every Wednesday and Saturday night. So tonight is our second show. So thank you so much, Elijah. Elijah Foreman is my he's going to be my, I guess, my temporary guest co-host. You know, he has his own stuff going on, but as long as he, you know, wants to come on and co-host with me, he's more than welcome to. Thank you, Elijah.
We're trying to convince Mona that this is her house.
No.
And, you know, she don't really, need me, but, you know.
I do.
I'm here for the time being, so we finally convince her.
You say you're going to convince me?
You got to listen, you did great last week. You
Thank
did great.
You.
I mean, I felt like I was throwing the interview off at certain points because it's like I'm trying to chime in as the third wheel.
Absolutely.
And, like,
not.
Throw a comment in and out.
No, I received some excellent feedback on the show, and I received a few feedback, and they love you. I had one female reader says they love your voice. They think you're very smooth.
Y'all love me out there?
Yes,
okay.
Yes. They love your voice, and they feel like, you know, me and you flow well together. Well, you know, I want to we're running a little bit late, but I want to, you know, give a little insight on me and you. So maybe if we could squeeze it in sometime before we finish off for tonight or maybe next week for the intro, I'll give a little insight on me and you. But me and you are no strangers to each other. You know, we've been friends.
No, not at all.
We've been in friends for like 8 years now, you know. And so so it's like, so the comfort level could be felt, you know, with us through, even through the phone line. That's when you know it's real, like, you know, like genuine friendship, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
That's true.
Right, right.
Sometimes, you know, I'll be having to get on Mona's case or she'll get on my case.
Right, right. So I'll give a little, you know, history on us. But so before we start, well, our guest is not here yet, and I'm going to pre-introduce her in a minute, but she haven't, you know, she's not here yet. But I wanted to give a special, a brief tribute to, so everybody knows that I'm a promoter, and I've been promoting for the past 2 years. So I've been promoting for I promote for a lot of different authors and publishers and stuff. So I've been promoting for cookbook publications. The CEOs are Danero Cook and his brother Keono Cook. So and then I'm also, you know, I also done some editing, so I've been editing, you know, work for CEO for, you know, cookbook publications. So to make a long story short, I edited a book called Birth of Hope, you know, and I spent quite a few months, you know, up to the point where the author, Rayvon McDowell, had got impatient. So he had called a few times, you know, to DeNiro. DeNiro put me in a thriller with him. So I remember the conversation I had with him was right before I finally did, you know, finish editing, and I sent the book to DeNiro. But, you know, Rayvon was very excited, you know, about, you know, he up to the point, if you can't finish editing, I'll edit myself. I said, no, I got it, you know. And so anyway, to make a long story short, his book finally was released March 10th. So, but unfortunately, I'm just, you know, sad to say that Rayvon was killed March 27th, like about 2.5 weeks after his book was released. Right. So I just wanted to give a special Shout out to Cookbook Publications and losing an author. Ray Vaughn was also good friends with DeNiro. So Ray Vaughn was laid to rest last Saturday. So I've been promoting his book, Birth of Hope. So I'm just, you know, please asking the readers to please one click it, you know, give it a chance. And the royalties will be, awarded to his mom that he left behind. And he also left.
About that.
Right.
Real quick, just to chime in,
mm-hmm.
You know, I'm 29. I got into this business when I was 21. And at the time when I got into this business, I'm from Trenton, New Jersey. So there was a lot of things going on in the city of Trenton. I've had, you know, drug sales in front of me. I've seen gang activity happen in front of me, all different types of things that could have got me out of here,
uh-huh.
Whether it be in jail or, you know, my demise. When
uh-huh.
you finally get an opportunity where it looks like you might have a chance to get away from some of the ills that happen in our neighborhoods,
uh-huh.
we leave running. We run out of our neighborhoods sometimes when we get these opportunities. And it's just sad to hear when a person is getting their momentum cut short.
Right.
Like that. You
right.
know what I mean? Because my story is no different than anybody else's. So it's just an unfortunate situation. So my prayers go out to his family. I don't
yes.
know if he has any kids or a girlfriend or anything
yes.
like that, but,
well,
you know.
Well, he left behind a beautiful little girl. I believe she's 3-4 years old. So, and then it was interesting about Ray Vaughn and a lot of, you know, in urban fiction, there's quite a few incarcerated authors, you know, and Ray Vaughn was, he just been home for about 2 years. He just came home 2 years ago and he got a business for himself, you know, he was doing pretty well for himself, and it was always his dream to publish a book, and he did it, so.
That's a sad situation.
Mm-hmm. So
God
I just wanted to, yeah, I tried to get DeNiro to come on, but, you know, I guess he didn't, you know. He, in addition to being his author, they were also friends, you know, so I think he still might be in a little grieving process. So I just wanted to give a little shout out and just let everybody know that Birth of Hope is available on Amazon.com. Please, one click. And, that's what I wanted to, you know, just wanted to give a little tribute to Ray Vaughn. So I'm still, like, you know, promoting the book, you know, like crazy and, you know, so. Yes. So on a lighter note, how you doing tonight, Elijah?
I'm good. I can't complain. Sitting here doing some writing.
Oh, hey.
I got something new coming out on Wednesday.
Okay, cool.
I had no idea what Kindle Vella was. Mona put me onto this, but I have my first project coming out on Kindle Vella.
Right.
It's called Unforgiven, The State versus Ricky Montana. This is
right.
a cover that I had for like 6 years. I bought that cover in 2016 when I decided to go indie.
You sound like me. I got covers from like...
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I mean, I really just didn't know what to do with the cover at the time. And
right.
I was saying before, like, if I write this into a full book, it's going to be a full book. This is not like a short type of cover. The detail that's in that cover, and for those who haven't seen it, it's on my page. I posted the flyer last night.
Right.
Like, the detail that's in that cover, that's a standalone type of book right there. At least 60 to 80K worth of words. But
okay.
when I stumbled upon Kindle Vella and I figured out, you know, this is like a TV show in book form where
mm-hmm.
you can just post episodes weekly. I say, yeah, this may be the story where I can use this type of vehicle and see where it goes.
Yes.
So
yes, I love Kindle Vella.
Definitely. So Wednesday night, first 3 episodes are free. And every week, every Wednesday, will be a new episode.
All right, cool. Well, make sure you tag me in the link, and I will share it and promote it for you.
Definitely.
Okay, so, all right, so it's time. So our guest is here, our guest for tonight. So I'm going to briefly introduce her, and then we're going to bring her on. So she's a romance author. She writes romance, straight up romance, you know, more on the contemporary side rather than urban romance, where I more consider myself urban romance. She writes contemporary. So we'll talk about the difference between contemporary and urban. You know, it's still there's always a lot of debate that goes on, you know, the difference between contemporary and urban. But anyway, so our guest tonight, her name is author Serene Ari, and she's a romance author. She has several books available on Amazon. She's a indie author, so she's no longer under a publisher, but I'll allow her to tell her story. So the book that she doesn't have, like a book, you know, that she's showcasing that's like already available, so we don't have no link to promote. She's gonna discuss and showcase her upcoming novel, so I'm gonna allow her to, you know, introduce the book to you. So, yes, everybody, let's give a warm welcome to author Serene Ari.
Yay!
Hey!
Hey!
How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Elijah, this is
Serene
Elijah.
Nice to, you know, meet you, Elijah. I've enjoyed hearing you on the podcast. Enjoyed hearing Mona, of course. Mona.
Hey.
All day. You've been doing your thing, girl. Aw,
thank you. I think I still have a little nervousness. So a little secret about me, when I'm nervous, I laugh a lot. It don't be nothing funny. I just laugh.
It's all like, right. Be you, do you. We still love you, no matter what.
Well, I'm a natural goofy person, so I be laughing at stuff that other people don't find funny that I find funny. So that's why I say it don't be nothing funny as far as, you know, I feel anybody else is concerned, but I might find it funny, so. Yes, so how are you tonight?
I am wonderful. I'm excited. I've been waiting to get online, so that's what I'm on.
Yay.
Today's
well,
a great
you.
Night.
Really?
And for all you moon lovers out there, we got a pink moon out there, so I'm excited about that, about going outside and seeing the pink moon, so yeah.
What's a pink moon?
A pink moon, it's like a moon phase, but it's a full moon tonight, and this moon is called the pink moon.
Hello?
And, yep. Now, depending on where you live, when you see it, it might not look pink. Like, it's not going to be like color crayon pink, but it might have like a pink haze. Sometimes it might have like a brownish, like a sepia color. But it's not going to be, it shouldn't be white. Like, you know how we see the moon and it's glowing in the sky? It just all
right.
Depends on where you live. So last year when I seen it, it had like a pink haze to it. It wasn't pink, but it had a pink haze. And, yeah, I'm a moon girl. I love the moon. So I be all up in the phases and all
let
that
me
good
tell
stuff.
You. Let me tell you. Okay, so before we start, you know, just talking and then discussing your upcoming novel, I hit My Drug, Her Cure is your upcoming novel. I want you to introduce yourself to the readers, but let me just say real quick, Serene is one of the smartest people that I've ever, like, you. She just be teaching you things that you, like, stuff I've never heard about.
Oh, my God. That's so amazing to hear. Thank you so much.
No,
I'm glad somebody
so
recognizes it.
No, I do. I've always recognized it. I'm like, damn, where'd she learn that from? Like, you be teaching me stuff. Because I sure as hell never heard of no pink moon. That's why I was like, and I'm about to go look out my window to see if the moon was
pink.
Well,
look out your window. Like, I mean, like, not to get back on the moon, because we could talk about this all day, but, like, just to say, like, a lot of the full moons have names. And they cycle through every year, and then sometimes there's this rare moon that might come across, but, like, they have names, and, like, it's always good to, like, look up certain things about life and human nature and the universe,
right.
Like, period. Like, you know, we live here, so look up that stuff.
Yes.
Like, any type of history, anything that knowledgeable, I don't care if people believe it's true or not. It's always good to just know things, you know, so... I'm real big on learning stuff. I will research anything. I'm like, wow, I never knew that.
You're very intelligent, and you really, you know, teach me new things. So I appreciate your friendship.
Thank you.
So I'll go into a little bit of how we met and everything, you know.
We got plenty of time.
Right. Well, first I want you to introduce yourself. Let the readers know a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so I currently write under the name Serena Ree. When I first started, I started writing, I was with Royalty. A lot of y'all, some of y'all know about Royalty, some of y'all don't, but when I first started, I started writing under Royalty, and my name was Chris Marie. And I chose because of everything, and if none of you guys know what's going on, what happened with Royalty, then some of you guys do know, and if not, then, you know, do your research. But I chose to change my name just so I could dissociate myself with that entire thing, and that's why my name is Serena Ree now. Serene is peace, because people always associate me with being peace and calm and, you know, loving and definitely teaching, you know what I mean? And Ree is just... a variation of my name, because my middle name has Marie in it, so I just cut the M off and put Irie. But yeah, I've been writing all my life. I've been writing for years, poetry, stories. I got stories I wrote like long time ago, and how I got into getting published was I have written a story, and at that point I was just like, come on, like, you've written so many stories. You need to get one of these books published. You can't keep writing all these stories in these notebooks, typing all these stories up and never do nothing with them. And so I just started looking up publishers and trying to figure out where I can get a book published. Of course, you know, I was new. I was a newbie at all of that. And I didn't have too much knowledge, but I tried to do my best with finding a good publisher. At first, I thought that Royalty was a great fit. Don't get me wrong. I don't really have too many complaints other than the fact that, like, I wrote differently than a lot of those authors. I didn't write like they wrote. And I didn't write like those authors wrote. And so it was kind of hard, they said, to promote me because of how my writing style was. And then, decided to go by myself, and once I was done with their contract, I went by myself, and I think I did pretty good, you know. I had to research everything, because a lot of times authors can't afford all the things out there when it comes to getting your book together, so I did a lot of research. I learned some things. Any book that you see that I have put out, I have crafted that book fully by my own hands. Every once in a while, I might outsource and have a cover made, but some of those covers I made, I did my own formatting. I did my own editing. Now, I'm not going to say I'm the greatest or 100%, but I don't have too many complaints. I really don't have no complaints when it comes to editing and stuff like that. I always really do a good job. I always do a good job when it comes to that. But, yeah, so I've been doing this for a while. Altogether, I've written 12 books, but only 6 of them are online. The other 6 were when I was with Royalty. And so I'm in a process of revamping those books, doing some editing and remaking covers, and eventually they will be online. Right now, my next upcoming release will be My Drug, Her Cure, And I am just looking to try to get back in the ball game because I haven't put out a book for a while. So life has taken control at this point. You know, you got to live, you got to work, you got to survive during this pandemic process. So I haven't really been able to write as much as I used to, but it's all coming back together. And if anybody got any questions, you know, I don't really know what else to say about myself. I'm a mother. I am, my favorite color is purple, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. If anybody got any questions, like, feel free to ask. I'm all for giving answers.
Well, no, you did a great job introducing yourself. I didn't want to cut you off, but, so let's back up.
I apologize if I took too long. Oh, my God.
Oh, no, none of that. I just didn't want to cut you off in the middle of you talking. But, no, I want to back up for a minute. So when I was introducing you, I introduced you as a, you know, romance author. And I was saying how you're more, you know, on the contemporary side.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rather than, because, you know, there's the genders under romance. Romance falls under, they break it down, so it's not just plain old romance. There's contemporary,
right.
And then there's urban romance. So,
I mean, it's contemporary, there's romance, there's erotica, there's all these different things.
Exactly.
Lot of things that fall under romance. There's fantasy fiction romance. There's all kinds of different things that fall under romance.
Right, so so romance is not an ordinary genre. It gets broken down. So I consider yourself, based on what I read from you, I consider you contemporary. So what do you consider yourself?
You know what? I'm going to go out there and be honest. I'm going to say I do not freaking know, because I know that I write a lot of different styles. Like, for instance, like Love Triggers. I don't think that people would consider Love Triggers to be contemporary.
Right.
Then there's, like, other books. The other books, perhaps, yeah, Love. Those books are definitely contemporary. When I first started writing with Royalty, my first book was, like, Me in My Own Words. That was my essence of love, was Me in My Own Words. But the books I wrote after that, that was me trying my best to try to get on the level that they write on. Not necessarily, like, in a bad way. Like, I couldn't write as good as them. But, I mean, like, they wrote in different styles than I did, and I didn't write like that. You know, they wanted some gangster hood books, and I didn't write like that. Not to say, like, you know, I don't know about the hood or nothing like that, but it's just, like, if I write romance, my aspect of romance was totally different from their aspect of romance. So the stuff that they wrote was completely different. And so a lot of my books was me trying to get on their level, because they never came at me with, no, you can't write. It was always, yeah, you can write, but, you know, we write books like this, you know, the hood stories and the gangster stories. And my stories weren't hood and gangsta. So that's where some of those books I was trying to show who I was, but then in some stories I was trying to, like, get on a level, you know what I mean? Versus any other story, I was myself.
Right. You'll find that a lot in this business, where when you sign under a publisher, most publishers often will try to, you know, change, you know, authors, you know, they're from their writing style, you know, to, you know, just basically, you know, try to get you to fall under,
write differently,
you know,
to write the way they want you to write, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't feel, I'm not going to say that Royalty was trying to do that. They was not trying to be like, okay, we're not accepting this book because you don't got a crackhead falling in love with her pimp. You know, you know what I'm saying? They didn't do that. But I've heard, I ain't gonna lie, I've heard that sometimes people were told that, but I wasn't told that. When they first read my story, they was more fascinated with the fact that, oh, it was good writing, and, you know, I hadn't professionally got my book edited. I did it myself, and it was like, oh, you did a really good job. Like, your book ain't broken apart. It's like a real book. And then they, you know, the first part of it is that red, they assumed that it was going to go to a hood aspect, but it didn't. And so after that, it was like, okay, now we're going to pay attention to her writing style. And my writing style wasn't their writing style. So, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I made good money, but at the same time, if I guess, like, I personally feel like I wasn't promoted properly because of the fact that I didn't write like they wanted me to write. But they never pushed me. I personally feel that way. But they never pushed me to be like, oh, change up your whole style and you need to write like this. They never came at me like that. They always accepted my books because there was nothing wrong with my books. The story wasn't bad. The story wasn't written horribly wrong. It was just that this ain't the type of stories that we write. You know what I mean?
Right.
So my stories always got accepted. It was just like, we write these type of stories. We write these type of stories. And I'm like, I don't write those type of stories. Like, I don't know what to do. And I tried it, and I did. I think I did pretty good with the stories that I did. But, you know, it was at a point in time where I had to go on my own. And I want to write about everything. Like, I mean, for those who don't know, even though, well, I actually have. With Royalty, I put out a paranormal story. I also write paranormal and fantasy fiction. I haven't really gotten to put all that stuff out because, you know, I started with Royalty with romance and I tried to stick with it, but I did do a paranormal story with them. And for me, that's my strongest point. I write, if you ask me, I write better doing paranormal and fantasy fiction. And I am going to get back into doing that. But that's where I am, and I put that out, and it did really good. Like, people actually liked the story. I got other stories that go along with it, but like I said, for the most part, I'm just different on all scales. I don't really know what genre you could put me in. When Love Triggers came out, I had several people telling me, like, ooh, this is a new genre, but we don't know what to call it, like. Because that story was it. People was like, oh, my God, I felt like I was watching a movie. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, I did good with this story. Thank you.
Right. So did you, well, real quick, Elijah, do you have any questions for Serene?
Yeah, real quick. I remember the whole situation. We're not going to speak on what the situation was with Royalty and the other subsidiary company. My question is, how did you bounce back? Like, what was your approach to bouncing back, and how long did it take you? I think young authors need to hear that when they run into those kind of situations.
Right. Okay. I'm going to be real honest with you, and this is how it went. I put out two books within a four-week process. I put out two books, and then 2 weeks later, I put out another book. 2 weeks after that is when Royalty was, you know, having their issue. But right after I put out my, like, maybe a day, the day that my book came out, we were having a conversation, and we went over my contract. And my contract was for more books than what was initially, what it was supposed to be. And I never knew that because in that contract the entire time I signed it. So versus where it said, like, let's say it said 9 books, I was really only supposed to put out 6. So they said that, you know, 9 was a typo for 6 books. So at that point, when I put out that book, the paranormal story, that was my 6 books. And it was like, oh, well, you could, you know, choose to renew your contract or you could leave. We had a conversation, and we, like, all agreed, me and the assistant, that it was best if I go and do my own thing just because I, you know, am on a different level. Not necessarily saying nobody writes bad or burst. I'm just, like, we ain't on the same level. So I need to go for my level, and they go for their level. You know what I mean? And so I actually was out of my contract when that stuff happened. However, my books were still under them. And so I had conversations with them and was just like, you know, y'all basically really can't do nothing with my book because my book is not, you know, the type of books y'all publish, you know, that y'all promote. So, like, look, how about y'all give me my rights back? They asked me to wait a couple of months while things was going on, and let them figure out some stuff. And then she told me to wait until March. And then March came, she basically was like, you can have your rights back to all your books. And that's how it went. So my love to and respect to all the authors who went through the drama that they went through with that author, with that publisher, and I feel bad for everything that all of them went through. I hope that they have been able to bounce back and go off on their own, but I did not go through none of that stuff. My contract literally ended right before all that stuff took place, so I didn't have to go through it. I was just there because of the fact that I was with them. So I watched it. Like, I literally watched it when, stuff happened. I'm online, and I'm like, wait a minute, hold on, what's going on? And that's how I figured out what was going on. But, yeah, like, only thing I had to do was wait to get the rights back for my books. And they kept it real with me and was like, wait till March. And in March, I got my books back. Everything else that was said between them, I'm not saying nobody not telling the truth or, you didn't go through that. I'm saying what I went through. For me, I waited until March to get my books back, and I did not experience what a lot of those authors had to go through with not being able to put out their books without not being able to publish. Like, I did not go through that. Like, when my contract ended, I was able to do whatever I wanted to do after that. But I still have all the respect and the love for all those authors out there who went through what they went through.
Definitely, definitely.
Right.
It's weird because a few of the authors that went through that drama, I had history with because they were on the bankroll squad first. And that's where I was on one of the sub companies with them. And then as time went on, they kind of gravitated to that side and stuff like that happened. And, I feel like it's a need for awareness because, with my show Unapologetic, I'm meeting a lot of young authors that are just getting into the game. And they weren't really around for a lot of the stuff that we may have been around for as long as we've been in the business. So, the number one thing I tell young authors, man, is read that contract from front to back.
Please, because I didn't.
Read it two or three times.
Right.
Because,
always,
I got caught out there
that
myself.
That contract from front to back.
Right.
And if you don't understand something, you better Google that shit. You better look it up. You better do something. You better ask some people. Like, I reached out to people. I Googled stuff. My friend's mother wasn't necessarily a lawyer, but she dealt with contracts. She read over my stuff. For the most part, my contract was fine. There was nothing in there that made me feel like I was going to get shisted or nothing like that. But it was just after that, it was like, oh, you want your own and you need to pay attention. And Mona, firsthand, I done got a contract that I didn't need to be in, but it was what it was. And then all I can do is be thankful that I'm out of it. Just like with any other contract with royalty and everything, all I can do is be thankful that I'm out of it because I could have went through some crazy stuff that all these other authors have experienced, and I feel so bad for them, and I'm like, I'm thankful to the universe that I did not have to actually go through that deep of a problem that a lot of these authors are facing, because it's crazy, and it's wrong. Like, they should not have to go through this. These people should not be out here trying to put these people through stuff like that. Like everybody needs to eat. Like, you know what I'm saying? You should never, ever, ever try to stop somebody from going, from being better. You should never do that, ever.
Well, you should never do that, but unfortunately, okay, in this industry, it's happening every day,
It's a dog-eat-dog world. You know what I'm saying? They used to say that back in the day. It's a dog-eat-dog world. What Madea say? Madea say, I'm going to do you before you do me, and I got to get you before you get me, because if you get me, then I got to get you first. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like, that's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it is. Like, that's how people out here really thinking. They out here thinking, like, I got to get you before you get me. And if I don't do you dirty, somebody else going to do you dirty, so I might as well do you dirty first. You know what I mean? And that's not cool.
Right.
It's like, why we got to think like that?
Because
if you out here thinking like, oh, I'm gonna be the generous one, I'm gonna be the kind one, the kind-hearted one, I'm gonna do things right. When you do that, then you got the people who you being kind to doing you dirty. So it's like everybody doing everybody dirty.
Exactly.
Everybody doing everybody dirty.
Yes, it's rough, okay? And these books.
You don't know who you can trust. You can't. You don't know who. You don't know. And my daddy said it best when he said, you don't never know somebody going to do you dirty till they do you dirty.
Right.
When they
right,
do you dirty,
right.
That's when you know. Because you sometimes you might know, like, okay, she's shady. I should never mess with her. But then some people come into your life and they genuine, and you feel like, oh, yeah, I could mess with them. Like, they're cool. And then they do you dirty. And you just be like, damn. Like,
well, some people
so you
are
know what I mean?
Pretenders.
You never know.
Yes. Some people are great pretenders. I'm a vibe person, and I'm real big on vibes.
Yep, I'm big on vibes.
But sometimes
I call
people
leeches.
You call them leeches?
I call them leeches. People come and try to steal your energy and steal your joy, mess with your whole aura. You know what I'm saying? And then when they do that, it's like I'm over here giving it away to them. Like, no.
Well, I call that evil because I'm a big vibe person.
There you go, evil.
If a person can trick your vibe, you know, trick you into thinking like they're this great person when they're like, you know, total opposite, then that's what I call evil. Because other than that, I'm a big vibe person. I can detect, you know, when a person is,
I do,
you know,
I be feeling it. Sometimes I be feeling off her like, that person is shady.
Aside from being evil, y'all, it's really more manipulation.
Because some people are mad at it.
I remember a story. I must have been maybe 21, 22. This was early in my career. And this is around the time where I left the bankroll squad. I didn't leave alone. I left with my publisher at the time, Alicia Howard. And then there was another writer. Her pen name is Autumn Crum now. Back then, her name was Crybaby. And we went to a company that was based in Maryland. And this company was feeding us all types of dreams. But they looked real because she had memoirs that she published from like four people that were involved in the reality TV world that had shows on VH1, BET, all types of stuff. You know, I won't say their names or anything like that, but she had, if you looked on her website, she had business with some big names in that world. So she started feeding us that, like, I can get your book, you know, published through this station or that channel, or it could be, you know, you can get exposure through these people. So we automatically thinking of that, and this is why I say read your contract. We didn't read the contract. We got it, signed it. Here you go. And from that moment on, we was only with them for 4 months because from that moment on, the communication was crazy. We never knew when a book was coming out. We wouldn't know till the book went live on Amazon. So we didn't have any way to, like, promote leading up to the release date because we never knew what the date was.
Right.
And then it got to a point where we couldn't even get in touch with the publisher. We had to speak to three different people to get to the publisher.
Right.
So one day, Alicia Howard called both of us and said, look, I don't know about y'all, but I'm out. We need to write, you know, letters, letting them know that we out. Before the call ended, my letter was done, and I sent mine in. And that kind of derailed what I was doing at the time. You know, that and another story that me and Mona just talked about with the publisher we were under. Those two stories set me back for about 4 years. To where, like, you know, who knows? Had I not gone through that, I could be making my books in the films by now. But because, you know, I went through the setbacks, I had to deal with the setbacks first. So to me, it's really manipulation sometimes. Like, certain publishers can really sit there and it's almost like talking to a little kid. Like, you know, if you go in your room and you clean your room, I'm going to go take you to the ice cream truck, get you an ice cream cone. Like, oh, okay, well, if I clean my room, I get this ice cream I've been asking about all day.
Right.
It really triggers down to, like, you know, mind manipulation sometimes. So, young authors, be careful, man. We ain't making long in the business for no reason.
Most definitely. Well, I learned a lot, and I consider myself, you know, like, pro now, you know, everything that I went through, like, in the early, you know, beginning, you know, I could never go through it now because I'm very, you know, knowledgeable, you know, of the business, and, you know, I've been through a lot, you know, so self-publishing is, I think, one of the best decisions you can make for yourself in this business. Sometimes being under a publisher will help you with fan base, you know, but, you know, I try to encourage authors to self-publish, but, you know, it's not always a bad thing being under a publisher. You just have to be real careful and do your research on in any publisher that you consider before you consider, you know, signing with them. Before you even look at the contract, you know, research the company first, research the person, the CEO, okay? Then you make sure you have somebody, whether it's an attorney or somebody who, you know, have legal knowledge, you know, read over that contract with you before you sign on a dotted line, because I sure did not do that. I did not read my contract. I literally just signed it. I was so excited.
Same here. When I first signed my first contract, I was too excited, and I read it the best I could. Yeah, I was like, okay, all right, that sounds good. And there we go.
When I tell you I didn't read it, I didn't read it. No, like, seriously,
wait.
I did not read it at all. You know, I scanned over the words and went down to the line, grabbed that pen, and signed that contract, so... Worst mistake I've ever made, you know. I actually signed a, you know, 2 contract, but, you know, that's a long story. So back to you, Serene. So I wanted to ask you, when you went through that, okay, so that whole scandal with that publisher you're referring to, we're not going to say any names, but that situation, you know, a lot of the authors that did end up finally getting their books released are actually doing pretty well now. You know,
that's great.
And I promote for some of them, and they're, you know, and it's been like a long road, a long time coming for them to get the rights back to their book. Now, you did not go through all of that pain and heartache. I mean, it was just a very sad to watch. It was like watching a train wreck, because you have all.
It really was like head on collision. It was horrible.
Because you want to know why? Because a lot of those authors were full-time authors for both of those publishers. Full-time meaning, like, that was their only job, like, their only source of income. And they made good money from...
Like, well, at that time, when I was with them, like, I did, like, in-home daycare. But that was it. For me, I didn't work outside my home. I worked inside my home. I did, like, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, I made wallets and pillows and stuff like that. I was, like, you know, a homemade hustler. But at the same time, I did in-home daycare and then writing. That's what I did. I at that point in time, I could write 24 hours a day. But I didn't, like, when that stuff started going through, I'm not gonna lie, when I started doing publishing on my own, like, that was like, oh, you gotta get a better job, like, you can't just sit here and do this no more, because it's not gonna work. But you know, when you think of everything that was going on, like, yeah, of course you was doing this and doing that, because, you know, whatever they was doing was, you know, it was on a whole nother level. And I ain't gonna lie, I'm making money, but not like I should be, if you ask me, but that's just because I need to get back out there and, you know, handle my business and get more readers and get more, you know, promotion going on and stuff like that, put out more books. So I haven't really put out a book in a while, and it's mostly because life done took place, and I haven't really had the time to just sit back and write like that, like I used to. But I'm really glad that all these authors have been able to get back on their feet and do what they have to do, because this is a passion. Like, this is some stuff a lot of people really love doing, this stuff, and we couldn't imagine ourselves doing nothing else.
Well, a lot of authors, like I started to say, you know, like, a lot of those authors, you know, that they that was the only source of income. People actually lost their houses, like, lost their apartments, like, got evicted. because they weren't able to continue paying their bills because their books were taken down. Their books were, well, it wasn't taken down. They were frozen. They were on hold by Amazon. You know, that whole thing. So it was just a very sad thing to watch. But I'm happy, you know, that you were able to come out out of that situation. But I wanted to ask you, before we go into your upcoming novel and, you know, we talk about love and romance, I wanted to find out, you were one of the few authors who did not go through all that drama. Now, from what I know, some of the authors besides you that did not go through that drama were because that the publisher played favoritism, you know, and,
That's a beautiful word right there. That's a beautiful word right there.
Favoritism was a big thing with that publisher, with, you know, both of them actually, well, more so the male publisher. I just don't want to say their name, but, you know.
We ain't got to say no names, but I already done said the name of the publishing company at the beginning of this, so they gonna know what it is. As far as the male publisher goes, I really didn't interact with him that much. I interacted more or less with a female publisher. And if you ask me, absolutely, there was favoritism. They did not treat all the authors the same way. If they didn't feel like they was going to make no money off you, you wasn't going to get what everybody else got. Like, you know, they was going to do enough to make you feel like you was being seen, but you wasn't being seen like everybody else was being seen. You know what I mean?
Exactly,
When my first book came out, I literally had to say something like, yo, like, I didn't see nowhere about my book getting promoted, not like the rest of everybody else. And they had to, like, come at me and be like, oh, yeah, we did. And then all of a sudden I started seeing stuff about my book. And I was just like, this should have been when my book first came out, the day of. Like, why am I barely seeing this? And they try to make it seem like, oh, you know, maybe you need to do this and do that or something with your settings. No, it ain't nothing to do with my settings. You just posted this. And it was some people within that company that I did like, but then it was some people that I was just like, y'all ain't doing me like y'all do everybody else. You know what I mean? And I feel like regardless of what's going on, like, don't get me wrong, I know, like, your top artist, you probably going to do better than anybody else maybe, but for me, it was like a lot of people got treated differently. There were even people who came after the fact, like, after I was there, and it was new to the company, but they had other books that they had put out, so that was like, oh, well, they got more books than you, so we gonna deal with them more type stuff. And I'm just like, okay. And I won't lie, like, I'll be honest, there were some authors that they was, you know, pushing their books, and I was just in my head, I was like, why? Like, it's a lot of authors that y'all do have that y'all overlooking that write better than this person, and you writing, you over here promoting them like they, you know, numero uno. And
Not to cut
one of y'all off. I just feel like with certain situations like this, I could be right or wrong with this particular situation, but, you know, in general, a lot of times when you're an author that's willing to do more than the other, like willing to do whatever the publisher might want you to do, they're going to put you at the forefront because they can mold you. Most authors come into a situation, you can't be molded. This is me. This is how I'm going to be. But you have some authors who come in so green and don't really know anything about anything. Well, I'm willing to do whatever to get on. And then this is the type of situation that ends up happening.
Absolutely right, yes. And I was one of them authors that was like, nah, I'm going to do me.
It's real. It's a real thing.
Oh, somebody's baby crying. Right, that's very interesting. So, Serene, Before we go into your upcoming novel, I wanted to find out. Serene, are you there? Okay, I have a bad connection. Is she still there?
Yeah, I'm still here, girl. You know I got kids be running through this house and be messing with me. They know exactly where I'm at. You know they know where I'm at, so they up in here messing with me, and I'm trying to put y'all on mute so y'all don't hear all the kids yelling.
Okay, no, I heard the baby, so I knew it was one of your grandkids.
Like, literally, somebody already done come up to me like, is that Mona?
I'm a superstar in her household. You know, so everybody, so, you know, so me and Serene, you know, we became connected when I started promoting for her last year, you know, and then I interviewed her, you know, a few times when I started doing, you know, my live interviews. And then, you know, about a couple months ago, me and her just clicked. You know, I'm the type of person, I'll admit it, you know, I'm not, you know, big with female friends, you know. I just don't do well with them, so I don't have too many of them as I've gotten older. You know, I've lost a lot of friends for one reason or another, but, you know, I just, you know, I don't click well with females. So it's always some reason or another where the relationship doesn't click. But Serene, she's really cool. She's a great writer. I became a fan of hers when I started promoting for her. So I started reading her book. She's excellent writer. So I'm about to, you know, we're going to get into, you know, the books that she has available in her upcoming novel. But I wanted to, you know, basically, you know, let everybody know, you know, the history between me and her. So, you know, she's, you know, somebody that I would, you know, consider a friend now. So me and her talk all the time. So I'm like a little superstar in her household. They all know me.
They do. Everybody know Mona. Everybody be like, is that Mona? Is that Mona? Like, everybody know Mona. Like, I told Mona from, the jump, like, when she met me and she told me, like, oh, I don't really get along with, you know, too many females. I was like, girl, I am not too many females. I want you to know that I am the female. I am Crystal. Like, period. Serena Aria. For those of you who don't know, my real name is Crystal. But, yes, I told her off top, like, I am not like most females. I'm on a whole different level. Like, if I say I'm your friend, I'm your friend, period.
Right.
And I was like, you're not about to get them vibes from me. No, those, I can't be her friend. Ain't no shadiness going on. Ain't no doing dirty, like, please believe. Like, I don't have friends that we've been friends for, like, 14, 15 years. They done been friends with me since my kids was babies. Like, I'm just on a whole nother level. I've always been that girl. Like, if you don't like me, it's because something's wrong with you. And ain't nothing wrong with Mona, so she know, like, off top, I'm a good person, genuinely. I do keep it real, and I personally feel like just because we don't agree don't mean we can't get along. Like, if you want to vote for Trump and I vote for whoever, then that's your business, but that don't mean we ain't got to get along. I'm going to question you, but... Like, you know what I'm saying? From the very jump, I've always had admiration for her. I love her. She's an amazing person. And especially once we started getting to know each other, I like Mona. She's great when she does her podcast. She's great when she does her video chats when she go live. She's an amazing promoter. Anybody who need promotion, please hit her up all day, every day. She's amazing, and I love working with her. I love talking to her, and I don't look at this as just a business relationship. I look at this as a true friendship. Like, you know what I'm saying, we going to be friends forever, period. Ain't no for a while, forever. So, like, I don't have no issues with you. We good.
Aw, well,
and like I said, all my kids know you already. Every single one of my kids know you. Every time my daughter hear you on the phone, she'd be like, is that Mona? Tell Mona I said hi. So, you know.
Aw. Well, I'm going to return the favor as far as, like, you know, giving a shout out to, you know, in addition to being an awesome writer, you're also, she makes some cool flyers. You know, she started making some flyers for me. And so, you know, check Serene Ari out, inbox her if you need flyers. She also makes logos and book covers. She makes book covers, flyers, and logos. So hit her up. She's excellent. Okay, so before we get into your upcoming novel, I wanted to ask you what message, you know, through your books do you, you know, what kind of message do you feel like your, you know, your legacy would, you know, you would leave behind through people, you know, readers reading your books?
My message is always and forever will be that Black people are great, period.
Mm-hmm.
I like writing about my brother and my sister and my kings and my queens in a different mm-hmm. light. And, you know, we done have plenty of interviews, and I've said this time and time again. I'm tired of us always getting put in. Don't get me wrong, we all go through stuff. We all have issues. We all have problems. We go through a lot of things. We have different mm-hmm. upbringings. But then you mm-hmm. always get that stereotype where they think that, okay, because you Black, you know, that means that you – they can't see us in a different light other than being a clerk at Circle K, a gangster mm-hmm. or a prostitute or a drug dealer or, mm-hmm. you know, something that ain't above. So they don't see us as scientists. They don't see us as doctors. They don't see us as lawyers. They don't see us as this or that. You know what I'm saying? We can't be the president. We can't be the next mayor. They don't see us as that. Then when you do see it, it's like, oh, okay, you know, once in a lifetime chance. No, like forever and always, we as kings, we are queens, we are leaders. And I remember reading a book, and it was saying, like, if you continuously paint yourself in the light of things like that, then that's how people will always perceive you. So if we continue to write stories about us just being gangsters and da-da-da-da, then that means that's all people going to look at us as. Now, I'm not saying that we don't go through this. Yeah, we go through this. People have their personal experiences, and I'm not saying don't write about it. Always write about anything that is dear to your heart, whatever comes to your mind. But for me, I like to write about the possibility of us being this or that. You know what I'm saying? And when I write about those things, yeah, a lot of my stuff is purely fictional. I dab in between with, like, personalities of people that I know, myself, my own personality, and things like that. But at the end of the day, I just like to paint us in a different light because we not all gangsters and we not all bad people. We not all the things that everybody thinks that we are. Even if we are, even if, you know what I'm saying, like, I don't believe that every guy that sells drugs is a bad person. I don't feel like every guy that's in prison is a horrible person. I feel like we might have did something and done messed up, and, you know, this is where we are now. This is where we landed. And then, you know, we have the capability to make different decisions in our life. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't always got to follow after what your entire family been doing. You can always be a different person, but it's always the thought. It's always the action that you do that makes you a different person. You know what I'm saying? We choose the path we take. It's not right. always, it's not always. Sometimes, yeah, this is all we have, but a lot of times we choose this path. We choose to say, fuck it, this is how I'm going to be. But we can always be something else. And then we are. We great. You know what I'm saying? This is
right.
A product of what they taught us to be. But then we have to have that mind frame in which a lot of us do where we decide, look, this ain't who I'm supposed to be. I don't have to be like my daddy, my mama, my uncle, my cousin. I could be myself. I could be me. You know what I'm saying? Like my kids, a lot of I have kids that's completely different than I am.
Uh-huh.
But they are amazing children. You know what I mean? My kids are amazing. And like my son draws great. He don't get that from me. He definitely don't get that from me. But I write about painting us in a better light because I want people to see, like, we is great. We are perfect. We are
right.
100% royalty. You know what I'm saying? And in my mind, Black people are the true gods of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we, at the end of the day, people strive to be like us. I don't care what nobody say. If somebody want to get offended and somebody decides that they feel some type of way, it doesn't matter. But history has proven over and over again that, you know, they get like, their hair braided, they get their culture, they get their everything from us. And so let's put ourselves in a different light. Let's talk about how great we could be. Let's not think that the nigga from the hood can't be a scientist, because he can be a scientist. He can be a doctor. He can save lives. You know what I'm saying? He could be whatever he want to be. And that's always where my thought frame comes from when I make up my stories. I don't care what they're about. And then also, y'all know I'm fantasy fiction, so that means that my mind frame go everywhere. So, you know, Mona, you know, you don't ever know right. who I'm going to write about.
Well,
yeah.
well, let's talk about, like, okay, so you, okay, so you've been self-publishing for how long now?
Wow, girl, we got new numbers. I'd say 2 years.
Okay, so you've been self-publishing for 2 years. So in the next 2 years after that, where do you see your writing going? And let's talk about, you know, because it seems you're a self-proclaimed romance author, but you also dip and dive in different, you know, genres. Like, you're big on paranormal, but you haven't really put out a paranormal book yet.
No, I haven't. And that's definitely a goal of mine, is to put out some paranormal, mm-hmm. because I love paranormal. Mm-hmm. Being a child and going through all the stuff that I've ever went through in life, I went through a lot of stuff as a kid, as a teenager. And I've read books since I was a child. When I used to get in trouble when I was little, my mama would be mm-hmm. like, girl, read a book. And that's where I mm-hmm. got my love of reading from getting in trouble. Real talk.
Right.
So mm-hmm. For me, I see myself just being a little bit more out there, popular. I'm not looking for fame and glory. It's not about the money for me, because I know that once you gain a lot of readers, the money going to come. I mean, we don't put books out here for free. So the money going to mm-hmm. come once you get all the readers. So my mm-hmm. goal is I just want people to know who I am as a writer. I don't want to be, you know, walk down the street and people like, oh, my God, that's Serena Reed. That's not my goal.
Right. Right.
I want people to know my books, and when they see my name, oh, my God, she got a new book out. Let me read that. You know
yes.
what I mean? Because I know mm-hmm. how I was when I wrote books. When I read books, I would be like, oh, such and such coming out with another book? You know, mm-hmm. me and my mom, we be on it. We be on it the day that they drop the book. Like, ooh. Such got another book. Like, let's go to the bookstore right now. Like, you know,
right.
like a new video. You know how somebody new video come out? Ooh, such and such, Cardi B got a new video. Have you seen it? I want people to be
right.
like, oh, my God, Serena Reed got a new book. Have you read it? Like, that's my goal. And with that being said, I know that once I become to the point where people know who I am, it's not mm-hmm. about the money, because the money going to come naturally. Like, you know
right.
what I'm saying? Your books ain't just going to be out here selling. But when people buying your books and people know your name, you know what I'm saying, you're going to make that money, because you don't have a choice but to. It's not nothing that's going to ever be taken from you. But my goal I want to, one, put that light out there for my children, because I want my kids to see, like, it doesn't matter how old you are. It don't matter where you at. If you have a
mm-hmm.
talent, do not waste it. Exploit that. And all my
right.
children are talented, and I want them to see it. Like, right now, they're in the rocky stages. Like, yeah, I got this talent, but what am I going to do with it? And I'm trying to mold them and teach them, like, let's do this, let's do that. You know what I'm saying? But I'm letting them make their own decisions of what they want to do. But
right.
At the same time, I want them to look at an example of me at some point in their life and be like,
mm-hmm.
you know, my mama could become this author, a best-selling author, if people could know, you know, who she is. Like, I could be that person, and I could do something
right.
with my name, and, you know what I'm saying, and put out stuff that entertains people. You know what I'm saying? Everybody loves entertainment, so put out something that entertains people. Put out something that inspires people, because, like, not
right.
only do I want my books to entertain people, but if I reach one person that's inspired by some message that I've conveyed inside my story, then I'm going to be happy about that. Like, I've written poems where people cried and was like, oh, my God, like, this touched my soul. And I'm not going to lie, I'd be like, dang, I didn't even know I wrote it like that.
Right.
They got in a whole nother feeling. And I'm like, shoot, girl, he's like, you got that juice.
I just
see myself as just being more out there to where people know who I am, and
mm-hmm.
that they love hearing my stories, because I know how I feel about my favorite. I know you, Elijah, Mona, I know y'all got y'all favorite authors out there. And even before, not even like current authors, like old school authors, like back when you was younger, somebody you loved reading. And You know what I'm saying? I'm not biased. I want to put that out there. I don't read just, you know, books that were written by black people. I read books. Like, I'm a reader. I read all kinds of stuff. I read books. I don't care what the back in the day, you didn't even know what the author looked like sometimes. You know what I mean? You was just reading books. And then it came to the point where you started reading, looking at pictures. And for me, I didn't even know half. Some people was black, white, whatever they was. I didn't know. But the story intrigued me. And if I liked it, I liked it.
Well, you know, back in the day, authors used to place their pictures in the back of the, you know, the books were like hardcover, you know. So majority of authors used to put their, I mean, not every author did it, but for majority back in the day, you know, they used to put their pictures, you know.
And a lot
of
times we didn't go to the back of the book.
Okay, well, no. Well, I'm talking about like in the back of the book when you turn the book around, you know, like the back.
The back of the hardcover,
okay,
yeah.
Well, no. Well, you know what? I take that back. And the inside also, most of the time is where they
That's
put
what
it,
I was thinking
you know,
on the inside.
But nowadays, not too many, like in the urban fiction world, you know, authors don't do it too often. I feel like I was one of the first few authors that did it. I haven't done it for all my books, but I have my catalog with my picture, you know, inside, you know, some of my books. But because now this new thing where you could befriend, you know, your favorite author on Facebook, you know, so I think, you know, now we could see what the authors look like. So, you know, I think, you know, it's not normalized anymore putting your pictures inside of the, you know, books. And I feel like we should bring back that old-fashioned feel. It's nice, you know, so that's why I started. I did it with a couple of my books and the table of contents. Not too many authors do it anymore. So,
I stick to the old school format. I do the table of contents. We got a dedication. We got an acknowledgement. We got about the author. Like, I put all that in my books.
I
do use a picture. I don't know why, but that's just how they did it back in the day. So, like, I use a picture and stuff, you know. And it'd be nice if one day somebody, you know, who read your books walk up to you when they know who you are. Like, you know what I mean? That would be wonderful. But, you know, that's not what I'm looking for. But I like I put my book, my picture in there because, like, you're going to know who I am. And when you read these books, I want people to like the book more than they like what I look like on some real stuff. Like, I don't care how you feel about what I look like. Love my story.
Right. Okay, so your book catalog right now consists of, you know, romance. You know, you're like a romance author and that. And, you know, I love romance. So I think when I started promoting for you, you know, or when an author hires me to promote for them, I always one click, like, because my package falls under, I promote for 1 month and my package rate covers 3 books. So I'll do Emini Mani Mo sometime and I'll purchase. Because I have KU also, but I'll purchase one book and then download the other two, you know. And so when the one that I purchased, I actually read, and I think one of your first book I read was Conversations in a Diner. I sent Elijah the book, the link, the other day.
Yeah.
Elijah, did you ever get a chance to check it out?
I did. I just put it in my collection. I haven't cracked it open just yet. I just grabbed it yesterday. So that definitely will be one of the next ones.
Okay, well, Conversation.
Well, make sure that you hear me up and tell me what you think about it.
Right.
I'll definitely let you know.
Yeah, it's a novelette. It's a novella. Well, a novelette. It's a very, very short read, but it's beautiful. Such a beautiful, sweet love story. It's like it has like a old-fashioned feel to it. You know, Conversations in a Diner, even the title is very catchy. I think that's what made me, you know, I said, let me go, you know, check this out. You know, I love the title. It's different, you know.
But I think that you said your favorite one was Love Triggers.
Well, I love Triggers, but I'm saying, like, you know, I said Conversations in a Diner is also one of my favorites.
it was the first one that I read from you.
You know, Conversation with Diana, but I love Trigger. You know, Love Trigger. You know, he was. I love. You know, just, he's like fit the image of the type of man. You know what I look for. Yeah, you know, well, you know, he has some qualities.
Like everybody's fantasy guy.
Yeah, that I look for in a man. So speaking of romance, like, so you write all these, you know, love stories. Your love stories are not about, you know, thugs. You know, he's a thug and he sees a good girl. He wants a good girl. He took away her virginity. No, you write about real people. You know, these are real people, you know, falling in love like the old-fashioned way. Like, I really love your story. So,
thank you.
Do you consider yourself a romantic woman? Have you had, you know, those type of like love in your life where you write about these stories, or are these like fantasies? You know, are you living fantasy through your characters?
Okay, so my stories are definitely fantasies. Mm-hmm. Just stuff that you know, that you like, you think about, dream about, or something like that. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that they're all things that like, oh, one day I want to go through that, but mm-hmm. they are fantasy in my mind, like stories that I come up with. But mm-hmm. I've been through personally like a lot of different types of relationships. I haven't really written about any of them, but I would say that, and like once in my life, I actually experienced like real romance for me in my life with one relationship. It wasn't with all of them, and then yeah, I've been in a few, but not they weren't all romantic. But the one that particularly that I went through, it was very romantic. It's always romantic, and like that, I fell in love with the romance. You know what I mean? But other guys, it was more like infatuation, like, oh yeah, you know, you thought he was fine, you thought he was cute, but you know, in true essence, he was probably not the good guy, not the guy you're probably supposed to be with. Those were type of the relationships I went through, but that's not what I write about.
Right. So let the readers know, you know, basically, are any of your characters, do they resemble you, any of your female characters? Do you, you know, are you portrayed?
All my characters, not all of them, but like the males and the females, some of them have hints of me. And like people who know me closely, they've read some of my books and they know, like, yeah, you talking about you in this part. Like, this is, you know, this is the type of person you are. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. I don't have a specific character that I could say is based on me. A lot of people say Essence from Essence of Love was based on me. That right there is not available right now, but it will be put back out. That's a book that I wrote with the first publishing company that I was with. And a lot of people who did read that book was like, oh, yeah, this character is just like you. Like, this is you completely. So all my other characters have bits and parts of my personality, but the one that probably has the most would be Essence from Essence of Love.
Oh, okay. And what about the males? Do any of your males resemble, you know, any of your, you know, past relationships, any of your exes?
Not all of them. There is some that some resemble me. Little bit. Like, I got a little bit of my personality inside of them, and then some resemble, you know, some people that I've come across or something that I've imagined. Right now, I don't have a character that completely resembles, like, somebody that I've been romantically involved with in the past. I don't have any characters like that. Not male characters.
Okay.
So my male characters are like purely fantasy. It's more like less like, oh, you know, this is the type of guy a girl probably want to come across, or, you know, in my mind, some of the guys that I've witnessed, some guys I know personally, this is some of the things that they've experienced or that they've gone through, you know what I'm saying? Whether it be something far-fetched or something that you like, okay, I could, you know, go through this. I can understand this because I've been through it, you know. There's some characters that may resemble some people that I know, but not completely, just certain experiences.
Right. Well, I I have this thing where, you know, I've experienced a lot of, I've found myself in a few love triangles, you know, throughout my lifetime. So a lot of my, so I write that. I cover that topic a lot with love triangles. And so it's just, and I don't know if it's therapeutic for me to write about it, because when I was going through that at the time, it's traumatic, you know. So, but your love stories are very, you know, they're not even, that's why I put you under, I don't even consider yourself urban fiction. I consider myself more urban, because I'm talking about all type of relationship drama. Like, my stories are not all lovey-dovey, you know, but yours are like sweet,
right.
Like, oh, romantic, like, oh. You know, like, and I be wanting to. That's why I don't consider myself contemporary, because I one of these days I want to sit down and write a love story from the beginning to the end with no drama, you know. And it's just hard for me to get in that mindset, because sadly, I guess you could say all I've known was drama. You know, I mean, I've had a couple of good guys here and there so long ago, though, in my early 20s. But other than that, I've, you know, from the late 20s and up, there's been a lot of drama. So that's, I'm always in that mindset that there's no such thing as having, like, you know, a lovey-dovey relationship. So it's just hard for me to sit down and write about. I can't even fantasize about it enough to write about it, you know.
For me,
so,
I have a very big imagination. I mean, obviously, if I write paranormal fantasy fiction type stuff, I have a very big imagination. I'm like super romance. Like, I watch romance movies. I like the cheesy ones, the little corny movies. I be watching everything. I'm big on romance, like any type of romance. Like, if people fall in love or whatever, I'm like, oh, like, I love that. Like, you know what I'm saying? It don't matter what type of story it is. But I think that's why I'm able to, you know, be able to turn just about anything into a romance.
Mm-hmm.
I think about that. I haven't always had the most romantic relationships. But even the one that I did have, even that relationship is not the inspiration that inspires me to write. Like, I've always just love romance, and it's like, you know, the girl who dreams of being a princess. Like, I dream of being swept off my feet and blah blah blah. Like, I love stuff like that, so I write things that I like fantasize about in my own mind, not necessarily for me, just as men and women in general, you know, like being in love, like that black love, like love. Not that, you know, it's kind of like some love, or we're going to say it's love because of the fact that they held each other down. Like, no, we're going to say it's love because it is love. But,
right.
Yeah, I've definitely, it's not necessarily about experiences that I went through. And part of it could be about things I wish I could have gone through or experienced. But a lot of it is, like I said, purely imagination, stuff that I've come up with in my head.
That is beautiful. I really want to, you know, get there, because I have the fantasy of what I want my perfect man to be, but I just can't, you know. Maybe I'll do a novella, you know, a short story. I can't just sit there and just sit there.
Girl,
and
let me tell you, I want you to know right now that in my perfect man, it will be 8 dudes. I will be like in one of them poly relationships. If I got my perfect man, it ain't going to be just one person. It ain't gonna be just one person. It's too many. You can't fit all the stuff that I fantasize about in just one person. It's gonna be like a whole bunch of people. So I gotta settle for like one of them.
Oh no!
I'm gonna have like a whole bunch of stuff. I'm like, oh, cause like honestly, the stuff that I think about, if I like put that on every man, then I would be single for the rest of my life. Cause it's like, you
it's
is not about
like
to have find no man that's gonna have all of that inside of.
What'd you say, Elijah?
You are not.
This sounds like a poly book right here. What's going on?
It's not a poly book. It's not a poly book. It's not. I am not for poly relationships. Don't get me wrong. You do as you do and you feel how you feel. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't have nothing against anybody who can work with that type of relationship. I cannot. But what I'm saying is, like, if I decided, like, if it was, like, one freak chance where I could have everything I wanted in a man, there's no way it could be in one person. There would have to be, like, 4 or 5 dudes, like, him, because all y'all can't fit all the stuff I want in one guy. And he'd have to be perfect, and, like, no, we're not going to get perfection. Everybody going to have their different ways, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, oh, I'm going to get this out of him, but then I'm going to get this out of him, and then I'm going to get this out of, you know, we're going to all come together as one and love each other. That's my thought. But, no, the book, Elijah, no, it is not. It's not folly.
Way that you went back and tried to explain it, now it sounds like a sci-fi movie. Now it sounds like you got Jody from Baby Boy. You know, you took a little bit of Melvin from Baby Boy. Now you got a little, like, Lorenz Tate from Love Jones.
Well, that's
a little bit.
Know. Just a little bit. Well, that's why
couple
that
other dudes in
me.
There.
Eight, yeah, she would need at least 8 dudes to, you know, to fulfill her fantasy. So
and then if we can magically consume that into one person, I hope he cute, because if we can combine them all.
Well, are you saying that you can't find what you're looking for in a man in just one man? Like you,
I would say. I have found what I'm looking for in one man. However, things could always be better. Everybody has their flaws. Everybody has their differences and things that they agree and don't agree with. But for the most part, I agree with him. And we have our moments when we don't agree with each other. But for the most part, we love each other. And he's more than what I've ever experienced. And I honestly think that if I was with anybody else, or if I never got with him, I would never experience what love is. And he has been my, like, that fantasy love, like that type of love that you don't get to see all the time. Like, things you see on TV, he that nigga you see on TV. And I don't know if he just did it because he seen it on TV, but I know he did it for me. And I was just like, okay. Like,
well, that is so,
like, I won't lie. Okay, so there was one time when, like, we was walking outside and there was, like, a whole bunch of water, and I had on these sandals, and he literally, like, picked me up and walked through the water and walked me over the water. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh my God, this is some stuff off a movie. Like, is he for real right now? Like, you know, and this was, like, around the time we first met. But even still to this day, he will still do the same thing. He will pick me up and take me over. You know what I'm saying? If it's glass, if it's a fire, he's going to walk me through it. He definitely is that type of guy. And those are things that you fantasize about. Those are things that you see on TV. And he is the only person that I've ever been with that made me feel like, okay, well, you know, dreams do come true. Or there is a romantic, wonderful person out there that care about a person that much to do that. A lot of guys that I've been with have been those hardcore guys where they'd be like, oh, I'm not going to do that because that made me feel like a simp or, you know, I don't know what guys call themselves feeling like. But I'm like, yeah, I feel like if you with somebody and y'all in a relationship and you care about them, then I'm not saying you supposed to jump in front of the bullet. What I'm supposed to say is, like, you supposed to grab her and be like, get down, like, let's, you know what I'm saying, like, not jump in front of the bullet, but get down. And he's the type of person that would do that. Like, we'd be walking down the street and he'll be like, babe, you're not paying attention, like, hold on, you know, he'll grab me before I walk out or whatever. And
he's that type of guy.
And some other guys, they don't do that. They'll look at you and be like, well, you got hit because you wasn't paying attention.
Well, a lot of men, you know, unfortunately, they lack attentiveness. That's what it's called. When you're attentive towards somebody, you notice little stuff like that. You know, a man notice when you're about to trip. Like, hey, watch your step. You know, little stuff like that. You know, And it's beautiful when you find that, because that's hard to find. A lot of men don't pay attention, don't remember the little things that matter, you know. Matter of fact, Elijah, you know what?
He remember all the little things. Like, he pay attention to every little bitty thing, stuff I don't like, stuff I do like. And I do the same thing for him, and he do the same thing for me. And, like, it's just different. It ain't like none of the stuff I went through before where I felt at some point where I'm the only person that love and I'm the only person that care. Like, he care about me beyond self. Like, he care about me so much. There be times when I'll have some type of self-doubt and he'll remind me of who I am. You know what I mean? Like, you know you great. You know you wonderful. Like, I don't know why you tripping. You this and you that. And you know what I'm saying? And he... all my kids don't have the same father, but for him, he has always been there for the son we have together, and he's always been a great father. He's always been there for him. When he say he coming to get him, he come get him. When he say he gonna be there for him, he there for him. He's always there. You know, and I don't have to worry about, okay, is he gonna take care of this boy? Do I gotta call and make sure he okay? Like, he don't do that. He be there. He there.
Oh, that is so beautiful. You should definitely write a love story on.
And he's also there for my other kids. Like, even with my other kids, girl, he do not play. Like, with them, you know how your boys is. You know, I got four boys, so my boys this is the only guy that they accept. Anybody else that I've ever been with, they don't accept them. My oldest is like, ain't no new niggas. You better not bring nobody new around. I don't like nobody. But with him, he know him. He got a good relationship with him. You know what I'm saying? And my grandkids call him Pop Pop. Girl, stop playing. Like, they love him. Everybody loves him. You know, my mama loves him. Nobody can ever say that he's not the person that he is, and he doesn't try hard. He just is that person.
Okay.
And he's been through a lot of stuff in his life when it comes to females and when it comes to, you know, things he's went through in his childhood. He's been through a whole lot, but he doesn't hold that against our relationship. He don't be like, well, I've been through this. No, he loves us. Loves me, and you know, he's always been there. If my kids need something, he's right there with them.
That is so beautiful. Okay, so that's going to lead me to questioning, you know, have you ever based a character on him? And then we'll briefly talk about your upcoming novel, My Bug, Her Cure. So we're going to take a 1-minute break and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Brother like me, and I took them chances on you. I was fucking all them hoes in the street. You left and I'm feeling lonely. I've been sipping and I'm trying to get sober. I need about 3 Coronas. Girl, I can't even focus. Now I'm holding on to this bottle, still thinking about what I did. I know it ain't true, I gotta sip slow. I know this ain't how I live, but I still want to. Baby girl, let's shit. Can we talk for a minute? You don't even have to stay long. And I miss when you used to let me hit it from the back. You're telling me go deep and I stay long. And that's why I'm sipping, trippin', trying to get you out my mind. Out my mind. Out my mind.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. Okay, so we're this has been like an awesome interview. You know, very enlightening. It's always a great interview, always great chat. You know, when I interview Serena, me and her, like, you know, always have like a great time talking. Serena,
I'm here. Can y'all hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
I can hear you.
Okay, before we talk about...
And he's calling in right now.
Yeah, I know. We're about to let him in, so everybody, so... okay, I think his mic is open. So so you've been talking about, you know, right before we went into commercial, you know, you talk about, you know, that you basically found the man that, you know... that you feel like it's for you, and that's beautiful. I really applaud that when that happened. So he's here, you know, to talk to us for a bit. So, you know, introduce him. His mic is open, so he can talk. Introduce him, Serene.
His name is Andre Carmichael. Are you online?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Andre.
Okay. Hello.
What's going on, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I can't call it, man. I'm just hanging out with these ladies, listening to all these crazy stories.
But you having a good time, right, Lightning?
Yeah,
I'm having a blast so far.
Okay, so Andre is, you know, Mr. Prince Charming that Serene was talking about, you know, so... I wanted to, you know, basically, I write about black love, so I embrace black love. So I think it's beautiful when you find a person that you met for you, like you're 100% sure about the person. So I haven't found that yet. So I think that's lovely, you know. So I just wanted to, you know, have Andre come in and just give a male, you know, point of view when it comes to love, romance. So, you know, when you just talk about, you know, romance, because when a woman is talking like that about a man, it's a beautiful thing because, you know, it's a beautiful thing because it doesn't happen too often. She feels like she finally found the one for her. So did you know that you would be that man for her when you guys met?
When we first met, yeah, I did. You know what I'm saying? Like people say, you know what I'm saying, there's no such thing as love at first sight. But with me, you know what I'm saying, I don't believe that. You know what I'm saying? Because everything has a reason for happening the way that it happens, no matter how it happens. And if you in tune with yourself, you know what I'm saying, then you can learn to understand and accept everything else that goes on around you.
Wow. You know, that's very interesting to hear a black man, you know, like, admit such things. You know, that's beautiful. I don't think, I've never heard a black man say that they believe in love at first sight. Me as a woman, I don't believe in love at first sight, per se. You know, I believe more in love.
He taught me how to believe in love at first sight because I only see it in movies and stuff like that. But honestly, when I very first met him, I like knew he was mine. Like literally, I know that sounds possessive, but when I first met him, I knew he was mine. Like I knew, like there, like I'm not gonna like leave past this day. Like I'm not gonna walk away from him. I'm not gonna go without getting his number, but without talking to him. And so, like when I very first met him, like I knew, like I'm this mine right here. And I think for him, you know, I'm gonna let him elaborate. But when I first met him, I knew like that was my perfection. Like you know what I'm saying? And I say that in a sense of me, my perfection. But like we not all perfect. You know what I'm saying? Of course not. But for me, that was what I was looking for in a man. That's what I was wanting. And anybody else that I have ever been with, they've not ever been able to give me what he's given me.
Ah, silky now. That is beautiful. I love that, for real. That is real beautiful to hear a woman say that. You know, I'm like, wow. Every time I hear, you know, a woman talk about a man on that level, I think that is just like the most beautiful, you know, thing like in the world. You know, you have to be a great type of man for a woman to talk about you on that level. Just like when Nipsey Hussle, you know, the rapper, when he passed away, and his fiance, his longtime love, actress Lauren London, she had posted something on her Instagram. I follow her Instagram, and she was calling him his fantasy. She said that he was her church, her sanctuary, and I don't think I've ever used those words to describe anybody. Like, it was just so beautiful. Like, you know, you have to have been one hell of a man for a woman to call you. Like, she said he was her peace, her sanctuary, her church. She used those words to describe him. I'm like, wow, that's lovely.
That's how I feel about him. Like, he's my peace. You know, we don't get in further into our relationship status. We'll get further into our relationship status as we go on, but he was my peace, you know. Honestly, when I broke up with my ex before him, I was like, I'm never gonna like try to be in another relationship. I wasn't like ward off all niggas or guys or men or whatever. I was more or less like, I'm never gonna let anybody make me feel the way he made me feel, and I'm never gonna let nobody take advantage of me again, and I'm never gonna do these things. Like, you know, like me, like, I'm big on romance. I used to try to do romantic things for him and like cook this and, you know, like, okay, when you come home, we gonna have like a romantic date. And he made me never want to be romantic again. He made me want to be like, you know, screw romance, we're not gonna do this. But when I met him, Andre, when I met him, I didn't have to sacrifice anything or do anything. He was the romantic one. He was the one that was being romantic, and that's what I needed, because I had never had nobody that's going to be romantic towards me. I was the one that was romantic. They never thought of the things that I thought about, you know what I'm saying? And I didn't have to tell him, oh, maybe you should do this, or maybe you should do that. No, he was the one who did the romantic stuff that made me fall in love with him. So it was a whole different ball game. It was a whole different, you know, thing for us.
That is lovely. Okay, so listen. So have you ever, I think I just asked you that, and then we'll go into, you know, right before we sign off for the night, have you ever based any characters on Andre?
No. I have based characters off him. I haven't put those books out yet. I have a book where I've based that my love interest off of him. And it's kind of like me and his story. I have not finished writing it, just because our story continues day by day, and it's like hard to write the ending. And I have to end the ending with just like love. And I feel like our ending with love would have to be when we had our son. So I have to base the story on something like that. But no, I haven't based any characters. And a lot of times with him, He want us to base characters. He'd be like, ooh, make me an assassin, or make me a he'd be stuff like that. He'd be like, make me an assassin, or make me like the OG in the book, or something like that. He's definitely giving me insights on different type of stories, but no, there's not. I don't have a character out right now that's solely based on him.
Right.
Put him on the mic. Ask him some questions.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, put him on the mic. Ask him some questions, because, you know, I've been running my mouth this whole time, so ask him some perspectives of
right before we sign off, I wanted you to go into your book, My Drug, Her Cure, but, no, I was just curious to hear his side of the story, you know, because the way you were talking about him, like, he just really sound like you're
you know, Prince Charming, and I think that's beautiful. So I just wanted, you know, to get an insight on, you know, like, you know, on his insight on your relationship. Like, was it love at first sight for him? You know, and to hear him say that, because I don't, you don't hear that, you know, coming from a man too often. You know,
Andre,
love at first sight.
Well, I'll tell you like this. Not all men are the same.
Right. Oh, yeah. We know that.
You know, it's always, when it comes to dealing with a woman, it's always an ego thing. You know
yes.
what I'm saying?
Preach,
so
Andre, preach.
You know, first thing for a man is, like I said, ego and pride. So when you express yourself to a woman and you tell them, you know what I'm saying? It's always that other side to where it's like, nah, I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know what, she going to look at me as being soft and, you know, anything else that go along with it. You know what I'm saying? But if you confident and secure in yourself, mm-hmm. it don't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can go and do whatever it is that you want to do and mm-hmm. – forget what anybody else say, because it ain't.
Right.
It's not them living your life.
Definitely.
You gotta live your life for yourself.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Elijah, do you have anything to say on this?
I agree. No man is the same as any other. I feel mm-hmm. like. Personally, going back to what you guys said about paying attention to detail, my lady hates this. When we go out, my main focus, and I tell her this all the time, my focus is to get you out of this building when we're done being in this building. So when I go in, we can go to a bowling alley. I don't even care. I'm looking around that room to make sure I know where every exit is. So just
I feel,
in case.
I feel you, bro. I feel you. I'm on the same thing.
You the same way. Hold
we
on,
might,
Elijah.
We might be bowling.
I need to know everything.
We might be bowling. Aww. The minute I hear something to my right,
mm-hmm.
and it sound like it might be a glass breaking or gunshot, whatever, I know mm-hmm. that it's an exit over here probably about 10, 15 feet away from me. We going to that exit. We not going to get ran over by the stampede trying to get to the front door. We
wow.
gotta be smart about this and go
what
to that exit in the corner. I'm a cuss baby, to be honest with you. I'm Gemini and Cancer.
Oh.
June 21st.
Oh, God.
That's where the birthday fell.
But we protected yeah. and we like got you. That's the same way he is. Like he's that way. Like we went out to a club once, and when people started fighting, like his first thing was to guard me. And then
right.
I had to stop him because somebody, you know, he became one of them guys that, like, oh, somebody stepped on my Jordans. And I had to be like, stop. I had to be like, stop. Like, they don't know they stepped on your Jordans. They fighting. Like, stop, because you can't get in the middle of this.
Right.
But yeah, his first thing was, like, let's be protective. And that's always beautiful when it comes to a man, especially the black man. Because that's what you're supposed to be, you know, in the tribes, in the nation. When we was back in the day, you were supposed to protect the village. And when you have a woman that you are with and you care about, your job is to protect her. Your job is to protect her, the children, the family. We protect,
right.
You know what I'm saying? We don't just stand around, and we don't even make ourselves involved unless we have to be. We protect.
Absolutely.
And that's great. And that's exactly what you sound like. That's what he sound like. You know what I mean? The protection.
We're going
to
have
so beautiful.
It's crazy. I mean,
you got to spring to get it back on
every,
that.
I was always told every black woman should always feel protected by the black man. If she do not, something is wrong. You know what I
yes.
mean? Like, we should always feel protected. And at the same time, we still got to have your back. So that don't mean we stand around and look at you like, what are we supposed to do? No, like, we all react, okay?
Or,
like, you know, we protect
you know
each
what?
Other.
Lift this up. No, we can't lift it up.
Definitely.
It.
It's important.
Right.
definitely in this day and age, it's important. Even sometimes when there's not quote unquote violence going on, like when COVID hit, my lady will tell you she was mad at me when I wasn't down with us going to like beaches and stuff like that in the summer of 2020. I used to turn on the news and show her, like, you see all these mofos out here without a mask? That's where you really want to go? And then she'll look at me, she'll give me that look like, all right, whatever. I'll be like, yeah, I'm just saying. You go out there with your mask on, but you're around 200 people without a mask, what you think going to happen?
Right. Right, exactly. I'll say the same way, because I'll be on him and we'll be on each other. Like, wear your mask. Wear your mask. Yeah, you got your mask. Put your mask on. Like, don't be playing. Put your mask on. Let's protect each other. And then some people be like, oh, well, you ain't got to wear the mask. And this stuff ain't real. I ain't feeding on to that. He always, whenever I go anywhere, when I go to work, when I get in a lift, when I walk down the street and I'm going to the store, he be like, you got your mask? You got your mask.
Right. Well, that's beautiful.
We both caught it in August of last year, so we know how real it is.
Man, oh, yeah. I mean, even if you got the shot, it's still real. Like, still wear your mask. I mean, I don't see plenty of people get the flu shot, and they still got the flu. So, you know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Right. Okay, so, Serene, if you could really give us a quick, synopsis of what your upcoming novel, My Drug, Her Cure, is about before we sign off.
Yes, I will not read no insert. I will send you an insert that you could probably post. I will, make a flyer of the insert and make it jazzy and flashy, so we can post it and do that promotion.
Okay.
But My Drug, Her Cure is about a guy who is fresh out of prison, and he is looking for a job, and he gets this job prospect from his cousin. And when he gets this job prospect from his cousin, the woman doing the interview, who is actually the one who runs the company and she owns the company, he immediately is attracted to her and thinks, like, damn, she's fine as hell. But he knows, we can't do no relationship with that because we work together. And then on his application, he lied and he didn't say that he was in prison. His cousin orchestrated his resume, but something it makes him tell the truth, and he ends up telling her the truth about the fact that he went to prison and he don't want to get a job, and then they find out later, oh, you've been to prison, and fire him. So he want to let him know now. He lets her know, and her thoughts are like no matter what you say, like, this is my company, I'm a hire you. And she hires him. She understands why. I'm not going to tell y'all why he went to prison. You got to read the book for that. But she don't have a problem hiring him. But what he don't know, what he will soon find out, is that she's just as attracted to him as he is to her. And they start, their little fling. But the cousin got a little side thing going on where the cousin got a bet with people. Like, oh, he's going to be the one to give her the D. You know what I'm saying? And so it turns into something else where it makes it look like, he's doing this as part of their little bet to sleep with her. But he's always been feeling her. He's always cared about her. You know what I'm saying? It for him, it was like, not necessarily love at first sight, but attraction at first sight type thing. And he's always been feeling her. So they go through their motions. They work together, but they quickly fall for each other. And then the whole thing about, the bet ends up coming out. And then you got the backlash from that. And then we, we go into the end of the story, whether they're going to be together or not. And I'm not going to spoil it and tell y'all whether they're going to be together or not. But that's the gist of the story. And then I also want people to know, some readers who have been following me and know
that I am Serena Ree, you know, from Chris Marie. I've already put this book out before.
Okay, so this is a re-release.
It's a re-release, but it wasn't on Amazon. It was on the Lit app that they created.
Okay.
And so this is going to be the first time it kind of goes, you know, live, mainstream, so to say. And before then, unless you had a certain app, you wasn't able to read this story. So I've revamped the cover. I re-edited it. And it's upcoming, so it should be out by at least Wednesday of next week, Tuesday. Right now, I'm just finishing up the editing, and then, you know, we about to push it through. But the cover's already made. I've sent you a copy of it, so if you want to, you could definitely push it out there for, you know, coming soon. Make sure you send Elijah a copy. The book is just, it's coming soon, but it is a short story. It's not a full length story. It's about, I'd say, about 40,000 words or less, and it's an office romance. But the main character, the two main characters, one is a guy who just got released from prison, and then the other is a woman who owns her own company, and her company is a promotion company, so where she promotes different type of products, you know, whichever one, books, lotions, whatever you have that needs to be promoting. The company's called Starlight Promotions, and that's what she does, is promote stuff. So it's kind of like a Mona service.
Oh, wow. Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
okay.
You promote.
Well,
but,
we look
That's basically what the story is about. Is about two people who work together, but he works in security and she is the owner of the entire company, and them two start feeling each other. Some people told me that they got like a borderline erotica feeling. I don't get that feeling from it, but there are some sex scenes. So I guess, you know, a lot of people think you got more than two sex scenes. That means it's an erotica. So I don't know. I really don't.
Not at all. Not at all. It's the tone.
For me,
story.
For me, it's a romance. For other people, like, oh my God, it's an erotica, but I don't feel like it's an erotica, which is why I did not categorize it as erotica. But for me, it's categorized as a romance.
Well, we definitely look forward to one clicking, and you know I'm going to promote the hell out of it. So,
start promoting that now. Bump one of them other books to the side and promote that. Then, you know, we got all my other books that's coming out. I know a lot of readers is waiting for Yahir's story, and a lot of readers is waiting for all of the stories after that. But I just want y'all to know, you know, pandemic, you know, plus, we coming with it. We about to come with it. So
okay, that's fabulous. So you please give the readers all your where your books are available, your social media, you know, all your social media platforms, and where your books can be one click, and we're signing off.
Okay, so right now you can find my books on Amazon. Search Serene Aree. Two words, S-E-R-E-N-E, Aree, A-R-I-I-E. You're going to search that on Amazon, and then you should be able to pull up my books. We got Love Triggers. We got Yellow Roses. We got Conversations in a Diner. We got Y King, the You Plus Me. Get on there and read those books. And then you can reach me on Instagram, even though my name is Kandake. Ari is K-A-N-D-A-K-E. Get on Instagram. If you can't find me on Instagram, then hit me up on my email, which is q.serenearie@gmail.com. That's Queen Serena Ree @gmail.com. And you can find me anywhere. So, yeah. hit me up. And if you want to be a test reader, or if you just a reader and you don't read some type of books, hit me up and we all for it.
Yes, yes. And make sure you hit her up for, like I said, she makes flyers, logos, and book covers.
Yeah.
So make sure you do.
Yes. Hit me up for flyers and logos. I got, $25 for three logos. You get three logos, you only got to pay $25. With
right.
Book covers, and it's $25 for three flyers, and then we got the logo prices, and then we got the book cover prices. So y'all hit me up, and I promise you, you will never, ever, ever be disappointed, ever.
Yes, 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 and I can vouch for that. So I want to thank you, Serene, once again, as always, for an awesome interview. You always deliver. I'm never disappointed when I interview you. And I want to, and tonight, I really wanted to do something different, and it worked out perfectly, bringing your fiancé, your future hubby, to come on.
He did pretty good, didn't he?
Yeah, he sure did. He sounded like a natural.
He did. He did pretty good. I was kind of worried about him for a second because I thought he was going to be up here like,
he's a natural.
He did really good. He going to have to get a bonus special tonight. Like, stop playing.
Okay. Well, no, thank you so much, Andre, for coming on. You did fabulous. And I also want to give a special...
I got tears in my eyes right now because he really did good, and I'm so glad because I appreciate him supporting me, and I appreciate him being able to get on there because everybody doesn't do that. So I'm so glad that he actually got on, and I appreciate him and I love him so much for being able to get on here and comment to everybody.
That is beautiful, and thank you, Andre, once again. And I also want to give special shout out to my co-host, Mr. Elijah Foreman.
To thank Elijah for being on here because he gave his male input. He was just sitting back and listening to us most of the time, but. I really am grateful to be able to be online with him because I've heard a lot about him, and everybody says he's amazing and he's great, and so I'm honored to be able to be on the mic with him.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you, Elijah. Messaged me. His phone died right before we were signing off, so
That's okay. He's gonna listen back to this. Tell him I said I love you and you are great.
Yeah, I just told him now. So thank you. Thank you so much, Serene. Thank you, Andre. Thank you, Elijah. And thank you to Drip the Mic and his lovely wife, Deidre. We're signing off.
Most definitely.
Next time. We'll be back next week. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Good night.
Peace.
Tonight I want to talk to you about a soothing situation. Tonight is my pleasure to indulge my duty to make your temple feel beautiful. Providing adventurous comfort for your vitamin P is essential to accent your sensual. I've been known to make your soul move, groove, so when you moan, it's like your octave has plagiarized the smooth tunes of Najee saxophone. And your tone is music to my ear, so I will atone for the wrongs done to your anatomy, and that is the motivation I have to be here. So excuse my rush. If I pull you straight from the tub, your body still filled with suds, bend you down, push my face in your love. Because in my head I've been replaying visions of your back shot more than my favorite clip on Pornhub. So I ask for your understanding. My urge to purge in you has my expansion grandstanding, demanding that I impede on your standards. Feasting you like dinner, but I have no table manners. Because my oral is impolite. Flashes and messes haunts my past, and I don't see that changing tonight. Your ripe fruit is in my sight. It's only right I savagely indulge in your delight. Unsustained. it's stiff as a statue, thirsting to get at you. Your temperature has you pushing the dial way past its highest point. Your joint has me floating like push. When I push buffness in you, in a rush to stuff you, and I trust you to be up to the challenge. Challenge every inch of my talent with your prize. Your funnel cloud inside suctions my stride when we collide. My surfboard rides your riptide until your water sprays like